Everybody, welcome to Grip Chat, your weekly podcast on everything disability. Welcome, everyone. Today with me, I have the usual, Jonathan. Hello, Jonathan. How are you going? I'm very good, thank you. And myself. So, how's everyone doing tonight? And everyone's had a good day, good warm day. Yeah, a bit cloudy, but temperature was okay. And it's starting to heat up, isn't it, Jonathan? Ooh, my week. Oh, not too bad, Jonathan. Not too bad. We're hanging in there. You know, isolation and stuff. We're hanging in there. Hopefully, we'll soon get out. Hello, Alan. How's it going? Thank you for joining us today. And we got David as well joined us on the group chat. How's it going, David? Is David
Yeah,
with
man.
us?
Good, yourself?
Hello, David. How's it going?
It's cutting out for some reason.
No worries. Yeah, we'll just
Good
say
things
you
on
fix your
yourself?
IT issues and then we'll get
What
back
talk
to
about today?
you. That's a good question. Jonathan, what are we gonna be talking about
Let me
today?
see. What is like? 7:37 p.m.
Ah, employment, Sounds exciting. Yes.
So we're talking about employment.
That's right, David, we're gonna
Employment
be talking
and
about
what about
employment.
employment?
Yeah. And also for the audience, if you want to be involved, please write in the
Okay.
comments. Get involved in the discussion. So Jonathan. So Jonathan, tell us what aspects of employment are we talking about here?
So today we're going to be comparing open and supported employment.
Yeah, look,
So open
honestly,
employment and support employment.
that's right, David. That's right. So we'll be talking about today open employment, so working in the mainstream, community, as opposed to, getting support during employment. So, David, have you ever been employed? Oh,
I
yeah.
have.
Yep.
And I've been in a supported deployment.
And how has that worked out for you, David?
I think it was good because if I needed anything, I had someone to ask. And
Oh, yeah. Oh,
they
yeah.
understood I had a disability.
Good stuff. Good stuff, David. Yeah, it's nice that you got the support. To carry out the job that you were entitled to do. That's good, David. What about
And
you, Jonathan? Sorry, Jonathan. Yep. Yes, David.
I to begin my employment journey.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, you're studying in university, huh? Final year, yeah? That's awesome. And so, yeah, you're just waiting to finish uni, then get into, I guess, the employment field. Just a comment from Alan as well. So Alan's currently employed. He's not customer facing. It's just admin work. Good stuff, Alan. So yeah, look, I guess I've been involved in both mainstream as opposed to, you know, working under supported employment. And I guess I could share with you the joys of working in both. But let's hear from David. David, you said you've been working in supported employment.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, overall, how did that, how was the journey? How did it feel, you know, getting support to be able to, you know, do the work?
Well, they understood at the end, when you go to a supported employment, they know you need help and they don't expect you to do everything by yourself without asking questions. So they're there.
Yeah, because sometimes with the employment as well. Sorry, yeah, David, continue.
They understood you needed help at times.
Yep.
So they would do it in a way you know best and which is easiest for you.
Yeah, exactly.
So you didn't have the pressure on you. You didn't have the
pressure. But sometimes with employment as well, they would ask that you have that there would be minimal supervision in most cases.
Yeah.
Which is okay if you're trained up to do the job, which is I guess what mainstream employment is all about, you know. It's basically get out there, do the training, and then once you've done the training, you're all on your own. Minimal supervision, you get to do your work. Yeah, I guess you're in control. However,
yeah, I guess so.
With people with disabilities, it's a different scenario.
You know, they're not expecting you to know everything.
Exactly. But also, it's not that we can't do the job. We most certainly can do the job, but we do need that support. And that's where supported employment comes in.
We have another comment from Alan.
Oh, yeah, thank you. So, yeah, thank you, Jonathan. Just another comment from Alan. So, it is good when you end up with an employer who understood that sometimes you might take longer to know how to do the work. But when you do know it, the work is done without question of quality done. Yeah, and I agree with you, Alan. You look, it's not
what I've realized. Ibi.
Yep.
What I've realized, people with disability, when they know how to do their work, they do it with passion.
Yeah, with pride, with passion. They're very passionate because
they want it to be
100%. Exactly. They're hardworking. Yes, Jonathan? Do you agree with this?
It's also been found in research that people with disabilities have on average less sick days Captain General Employment.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Because they're very committed. People disability, they're very committed. Thank you, Janet, and welcome to the show. So Janet just commented, doing a job, good job, guys. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. But I guess it's very important
for
that
people that are listening. Do you agree with me that if you have a disability, you put 110% in, not 100%, and you put
well, technically, there's only up to 100%. You can't go over 100%.
No!
I know what you're saying. Metaphorically speaking, yeah, people with disability, they do put in 100% because they're very committed and they're very passionate. And they're always, I feel that they're always worried about, you know, screwing up or not doing the right thing. Which causes, I guess, more pressure for people with disability. Yeah. Just a comment from Alan. So this is for you, David. David, you give your all and you do it well. Good stuff, Alan. Good stuff. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, very important. Once, I guess, people with disability, like, they know how to do the job and they know how to do it well. But sometimes there's barriers that don't allow them to, you know, do the job. For example, if one person knows all about programming and they need the access to a mouse that's accessible. Of course, mainstream service provider, mainstream employment won't offer them an accessible mouse. Whereas if you do get that supported employment, they would be able to accommodate the mouse to suit your needs, so for you to be able to do your job more properly. Don't you agree? It's important to understand that sometimes when you're in mainstream employment, it can be hard to make it accessible for people with disability, to make their work more efficient and to allow them to work more productively rather than worrying, you know, day to day about whether they're unable to do the job because of inaccessibility. Isn't that something you would agree with? Thank you very much, Alan. Thank you. And we just a comment from Alan. He said that folks, I need to go. Feeling a bit tired from today. Much respect to you all and looking forward to seeing you next time. You folks are awesome. Thank you very much, Alan, and we hope to see you again. Yeah, so as we were saying, what are your thoughts, David? What are your thoughts, David, being a person with vision impairment? If you were to work in a mainstream employment, would you be able to do that?
Yes. I would if I have assistance also.
Yeah. So then you would look at supported employment.
But sometimes I would look at supported employment, but also sometimes you can do things for yourself if you've got everything set out for you. And you've got technology that allows you to use the support of the technology. And you've got screen readers, you've got everything. You've got scanners, things to scan and transfer documents into text. a lot of technology next for you.
Mm.
But also, if you have help, it's even better. That way you work together.
Jonathan?
The thing is, with the NDIS and changing government funding, employers need to feel like if they give someone a go, it won't create a loss or require them to invest more.
Exactly, but the thing about supported employment as well is that you have to go through the process in order to get into employment. And I don't know if the audience agrees with me as well, but the process can take a very long time. And so when with the government, they have these disability employment providers that will help you, you know, look for work according to your needs and help on your resume and stuff.
Why do they actually help you?
That's a good question. That's a very good question.
Are they aiming to get as many people employed as possible just to get more funding?
You're spot on with that, Jonathan. Yes, do they actually help you? Or are they just using you for revenue gain? From my experience, Jonathan, I can tell you that I've spent quite a number of years looking for employment with a service provider, or with a disability employment service provider. And it's I just kept going through the process again and again and again. And unfortunately, I didn't find a job that I was most suited for.
Can you just share with everyone how does the process make you feel?
What? There, I got no words to describe how I feel other than just angry, impatient. I'm sick of the system. Sorry to be saying that, but look, I don't want to talk too bad about disability employment services, but the reality is, you gotta be active. You gotta put yourself out there, search for a job that you're willing to work in. Go online. There are lots of search engines, job search engines.
This is the ridiculous double standard. If there was a normal person on job keeper, they would be actually required to look for work. Mm-hmm. But for people with disability, it feels like even for
Exactly. Look, people with disability can go out there and look for work themselves, but the only problem with that is you're taking the risk, because sometimes there may be lack of accessibility in the workplace. Yes, you can look into, you know, running your own business, which I guess most people with disability end up doing It shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't go through a process where they promise us, you know, a job, or they promise us they'll get us a job within a specific time period, but they just keep us waiting and waiting, keep getting our hopes up. That's what disability employment service providers. We should not go through that process. The best way to look at it is, thank you for that comment, running your own business. But there's a lot of formalities to go through.
And there is a lot of risk and stress. So you need to consider whether it's for you.
Yes, exactly. If you can handle the pressure and the stress, then you go for it. But not all people can go through that, and so they're pretty reliant on service providers to help them find a job. But they're not so good at doing that. They're a failure in the system.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Yeah, David. So
it'd be other ones out through that. So they help you find a job, but sometimes I feel that can you hear me?
Yeah. Go on, David.
I feel they like to keep you longer on the list and not get your job. I feel like
like Jonathan said,
because they get paid as long as you've been on it.
Yeah, exactly. Just a comment from Mim. So that sucks. Need more employment with disability. Need more people with disability working in employment agencies. Yes. That's a very good point, Mim. We should hire people with disability to work in. Go for it, John.
Can I take you further? Maybe put out a challenge. Maybe we actually need to turn it on its head. I have people with disabilities running the employment service for
David? What I think should happen is...
Yeah.
What I think should happen is, all right, there is like people that find jobs, but all right, you can have place directly just for disability, and people that want to employ people with disabilities put their jobs in there. That way, it's easier for us to look, and easier for the jobs that are suitable for us. and we don't have to look in from places.
Exactly, and yeah.
People that are asking for people with disabilities are expecting disabilities.
Yeah. So, hold on. Yep. So, yeah, and I agree, David. I agree. Yes, Jonathan.
I can think what the government could do is. They have this new thing called Disability Gateway.
Disability Gateway, huh?
But what we need is actually a disability market. Like, so people like me who have just finished the qualification can put themselves out there to open employers.
Exactly. That should be the case. However, it's not the case.
Well, maybe we should talk offline about that.
Yes, we should. We should. I think it's a discussion that should get started. Look, once you get into, once you do finish your qualifications, you do jump into, you know, the service providers, and you're required to, you know, do a course or do some training with them that would help you find a job. I don't know if people agree with me here.
But has anyone done any research into what that training gets people?
It just, I guess it does provide you with those, with that knowledge and skills in writing a resume. But then once you leave the leave the service provider and you enter another service provider, the cycle starts again. And so you're required to, you know,
against the whole principle of the NDIS of being person centered.
And yep. It does go against the NDIS and whatnot. Look, for me, in my experience, word of mouth or just looking online for a suitable job is probably the way to go.
You could do anything. What would you do to improve the system?
That's a very good question. What would I do to improve the system? First things first, hire more people with disability in the employment agencies. I think that's a good point. That's a good step to build the confidence of other people with disability to find employment. And also, look, follow up as well. You know, with service providers, there's once you go to your appointments per se, and they say, "Have you found a job?" You tell them no, then they'll schedule your next appointment. So there's really much not much following up happening. So always follow up with your clients or people who want to get a job. Also, if you have the capacity, jump online, do your research, see what jobs are available out there. And if you want, bring it up with your employment service provider. Or
they say put your feet in the water.
Yeah, exactly.
And
put your feet
in the water.
Exactly. Thank you,
Dave. If you do, please
Yes, exactly. Switch service providers. But also, if you got connections out there, engage with your connections. See what are opportunities out there. Just a question from Mim. Do you guys get paid for this podcast? We're just voluntarily doing it, and we're proud to be doing it, I guess. Yeah, thank you for that question.
Hold on,
David. Sorry. Yeah, Jonathan.
We do it because we enjoy informing the mainstream community about the issues that affect our everyday life.
Yep, we're here to educate, and we're happy to, I guess, volunteer our time in educating the public about all things disability. Yes, David.
We like to inform and educate the public. Now, see, a lot of people like to, they have a disability, think they can't something, someone won't give them a chance. What you can do is ask them to give you some, and if you've got, you know how to do the skills, and they're impressed with you, they might offer you a job.
Yep. Exactly.
There's no harm in trying.
Yeah. Volunteer if you need to. Work,
and if they like your work, they would offer you a job.
Exactly. Yeah. Just go for every opportunity that you can go for.
It gives good you stuff. Experience.
Exactly.
And if you enjoy your work, if you enjoy the job, you do it to the best of your ability.
Good
you
stuff.
Put your pride into it, and your
the best just make sure job is when you don't feel like working.
Exactly. Just enjoy it. Enjoy what you Enjoy what you can.
If you enjoy your work, you do your work 100% all the time.
Yeah, you give it your all. On that note, any final thoughts or anything you want to add, David?
Yeah, well, a lot of people that have disability like to prove themselves, like to show their things and with it all. So once you find something out there that you're interested in, go for it. If you're interested in it and it keeps you occupied, you most likely get a job, because you're actually doing, you do it with your all and put 100%.
Good stuff.
So don't
good
be afraid stuff. To go for a job.
Never Thank you, David. Thank you. Thank you, David. What about you, Jonathan? Any final thoughts?
I give you business owner. You know, I understand finding a job and running a business is straightforward. But if you have the idea and passion to pursue your dreams, there's nothing that can stop you when you develop the skills. Take this podcast as an example of what you could achieve, not what you can't.
Good stuff. Exactly. Spot on, Jonathan. Yes, any I guess volunteering opportunities out there. Go for it. So, go for the volunteer if you need to. Yep. Yes, David.
Also, what I would like to include is don't be worried in thinking, oh, it's going to cost them more for them to employ you because they've got to buy a special equipment. Mm-hmm. But there's government for that.
Yeah.
So government helps them.
Yeah. Think about why you be a value to the organization, and always go if there's a chance for you to gain new skills or grow on your skills, then go for it. Any opportunity that is out there, go for it. And also, if you have the capacity to do it, look online. Connect with your connections, your networks. Build on your networks. Ask for any job opportunities out there and go for it. And if you do need those supports, get into our disability employment service provider. They'll provide the supports for you. Just a comment from Mim. Thank you, Mim. So ABC Radio has jobs for people with disabilities and just provided us with a link. Thank you very much for sharing, Nim. Thank you. On that note, you have been watching Crip Chat, your weekly podcast on everything disability. Join us in the discussion, and we look forward to seeing you next week. But for now, have a good weekend, and we will see everybody. Take it.
Bye.